We are in a study on the book of Philippians. This is our third week in teaching on the book of Philippians. And, you know, every week I've started with reminding us that the Lord said that this is our year of manifested faith, that the things that we have believed for privately, God is going to make visible publicly, that joy is our strength, that increase is our portion, and that no matter what comes and no matter what goes, we are to stay in faith and boldly declare, I believe God. And so I said, what better to talk about joy, you know, what better book than the book of Philippians? And it was written by the Apostle Paul, actually, while he was in a Roman prison, and which you know, just pushes it even further, because he uses the word joy or rejoice 16 times in the letter that he sends to them. And so he's writing them for several reasons. He's writing them to thank them for their financial support, to encourage them in unity, because there was a little bit going on with fussing and fighting in the church. Praise the Lord. and so don't say that. Keep going, Pastor. And to encourage joy in difficult situations. And so the main theme of the book of Philippians is joy in Christ. Now, in chapter one, in week one, if you remember, we talked from the subject of joy no matter what. So Paul teaches us, even in tough situations like prison, you can still have joy. Can I get a... And then in chapter 2, in week 2, he takes it a little bit further and talks about having joy beyond ourselves. That the fastest way to lose joy is to make it all about you. The fastest way to increase joy is to live a life beyond ourselves. And then I'm not going to chapter 3 because I've only got one more Sunday. This is the last Sunday I can teach in it because of things we've got going on. So I will tell you that the emphasis of chapter 3 deals with false confidence. And Paul is teaching us to don't put your confidence in man, in achievements, in titles, in religion, in the past, but to put your confidence in Christ alone. All right. And so today we're going to read from chapter 4. And today's lesson, one of the emphases that Paul's going to give us. And let me just go ahead and give you the title. So here we go. First lesson, joy no matter what. Second lesson, joy beyond ourselves. Today, third lesson, joy that brings peace. Joy that brings peace. One of the biggest tricks of the enemy is to get you to stay in a state of worry and fear and anxiety. You got it? Because the enemy knows that will steal your peace. He wants to cause the negative thoughts to hit you over and over and over and over, because he wants you to, you know, he wants you to focus on the negative, you got it, instead of the positive. He wants you to focus on the negative in every situation instead of focusing on God's word and what it already declares in your life. Even the enemy knows that God's word is powerful, and that's why he keeps you from trying to hear the word and read the word of God in your life. And so in chapter 4, which we're going to talk about today, Paul teaches us something extremely powerful. He teaches us that God just doesn't want to change our situation, but he wants to stabilize our spirits, all right? And he gives us a clear pathway to peace found in chapter 4. So we're going to jump into it today. How many in the room know how many points I have for you? You already know. Pastor's got three strong points that are going to give us this clear pathway to peace that Paul teaches us in the book of Philippians. All right. So let's jump right into it with a strong voice. Everybody say number one. Number one, the first point that Paul teaches us is to choose joy, that it's a choice. Everybody say choose joy. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord sometimes. And again, that's right. Shoot me down when I'm not talking right. He says, rejoice in the Lord. Always. That's right. He said, what does always mean? Always. That's right. Always means always. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And watch this. And he comes back. He says, and again. So he emphasizes, I say, rejoice. And now remember, Paul is in prison, falsely accused, in shackles, and even in those situations, he is able to have joy no matter what, to the degree not only does he have joy, but he's writing letters encouraging other people so that they'll have joy always also. And so Paul is not really making a suggestion here. He's actually giving a command. He's saying, rejoice, and again I say, rejoice, which teaches us that joy is not just emotional, but joy is intentional. intentional. It is something that I have to choose to do, not just some days, but every day. Not in just certain situations, but in every situation. Because you got to catch this, class. Joy is not found in what's happening, but joy is found in who God is. That joy is not found in my circumstance, but joy is found in who God is. That joy is not found in a tough situation, and we all go through tough situations, but I won't find joy if I focus on the tough situation. But I will find joy if I focus on who God is. That he is Jehovah Jireh, he's my provider. That he is Jehovah Shalom, he is my peace. That he is Jehovah Nisi, he is my banner of victory. That he is Jehovah Rapha, that he is my healer. And when I focus on who he is, then not only does joy come, but peace comes because I choose joy. That's a good place to clap right there. Yeah, that's a good place to clap. Y'all got that? So Psalms 18 and I'm sorry, Psalms 118 and 24. Psalms 118 and 24. Very familiar passage of scripture. You know, some people think David wrote this psalm, but no one actually knows for sure who wrote this song. One thing that theologians do say, whoever wrote it, and most theologians think that he wrote it, but they're not positive. They said whoever wrote it, they were definitely going through some hardships. They were experiencing some tough times. And so Psalms 118 in 24 says, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will and do what? All right, so let's back up. This is the day that the Lord has made. And so, you know, thank God I'm just here. Thank God he woke me up. Thank God I'm alive. Because somebody didn't wake up, but you and I, we woke up. So this is the day that the Lord has made. And then you notice the next two words is we will. You got it? So it's because we just said that it has to be intentional, right? That joy is not just emotional, but joy is intentional. So he says we will rejoice. In other words, we are making a calculated, intentional choice that I am going to rejoice regardless of situations, circumstances, what it looks like. Even if I don't feel like rejoicing, I'm going to make this body line up with the word of God, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Does that make sense? And what that teaches us is that it's not about being a perfect day, because you won't always have perfect days. Can I get up? But that the fact is that no matter what day it is, that we serve a faithful God, and he's faithful not some days, but he's faithful every day. And because the writer knew that even in hardship, God was still faithful, that it wasn't based on his circumstances, but who God is, that is why he was able to wake up and open his mouth and say, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it, because it wasn't based on emotions, it was based on intentions of who God is. Does that make sense? Yeah, and I mean, you know, you do know that this is not the only time that Paul was in prison. You got it? Paul was in prison, writers say, for sure, 5 to 7 times that we actually see, all right? One was the book of Acts, and Acts 16, when Paul and Silas were in prison. You remember that? They were shackled. They were in chains. They were actually beaten that time. So they're beaten. They're locked up. They're in chains. And instead of, you know, having a pity party and saying, why, oh, me, they understood that there's something happens when you praise the name of Jesus, that there's something happens when you worship God. And so at midnight, they begin to start singing praises unto God. The jail shakes. You got it. You know, the shackles, the doors open, you know, all those kind of things, because they realize that joy is a choice even in pain. I want you to repeat after me. Say, joy is a choice even in pain. Yeah, and sometimes, you know, and I get it, because naturally, let's just be honest, because, you know, we live in this carnal, physical body, and so naturally, there are times we don't feel like praising God. There are times we don't feel like praying. There are times we don't feel like coming to church. There are times we don't feel like opening our mouths and saying, this is the day that the Lord has made. And that is why you always have to make sure that your spiritual temperature is high. You understand? Because what happens is, in the natural, there might be a lot of reasons not to rejoice, but in the spirit, there are more reasons to rejoice than not to rejoice. Does that make sense? Yeah. And now if you're going to clap, give me a good clap. Don't patty cake in the house of the Lord. So my take-home statement for point number one is this. They'll put it on the screen. You can't always choose what happens to you, but you can choose how you respond. Everybody say, choose joy. So you can't always, you know, sometimes some things are going to happen. You got it? Something that we don't understand. Sometimes some people are going to treat you funny. Sometimes, you know, just things are going to happen in life, and that's just life, and sometimes life be life. And how many know sometimes life be life, right? But even when life is life, and you got it, God is still God. You understand what I'm saying? Like, he is still the supreme, ultimate, you got it, healer, deliverer, miracle worker, and so you have to keep your focus on him. That's the bottom line. All right. So number one, we said choose joy. All right. Here we go. Everybody say number two. Number two, make prayer a priority. Make prayer a priority. So you know, we drop down in Philippians, and now we'll pick it up, in verse 6, all right? In verse 6, we'll pick it up. I've been giving you a lot of the translations from just KJV and New KJV, but I want to read it to you in the NLT. In the KJV, it talks about being anxious for nothing, all right? But by everything, with prayer and supplication, make your thanksgiving known to the Lord, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. That's KJV. But the NLT kind of opens it up a little bit, and I think it's important that we understand that, all right? So let's put it up on the screen, Philippians 4 and 6. I want you just to look at those first four words, all right? Count them out if you need to count them out. Look at those first four words. On the count of three, I want you to tell me what they are. Here we go. One, two, three. All right, now who said that? The Bible. The Apostle Paul, you got it? You know, all the scriptures God breathed, right? You got it? And so even though the Apostle Paul wrote it, he wrote it under the anointing of the Holy Spirit for you and I, and that is why the Bible is still so powerful today, because it was written by inspiration of the Holy Ghost, all right? He says, don't worry about anything, okay? So when we talk about anything, are we talking about bad situations? You got it? Situations going on, you know, in my life, or something with my child, or how I'm going to pay this bill, or, you know, what's my next move for my career, or this season of life is tough. The writer says, don't worry about anything. Now, he didn't say that you couldn't plan for some things. He didn't say you couldn't address some things. That's not what he was saying. He wasn't saying just throw it all out the window. He says, don't worry, right? You know, he says, don't worry about anything. When lady and I, this year will be, in December, we'll have been married 28 years. In our first, you know, in the beginning of our marriage, I would talk to her about, you know, we got this going on, we got that going on. And she used to say a phrase that, boy, it rubbed me the wrong way. You got it? It did. You know, because I wasn't in doubt and unbelief. I guess she wanted to make sure I wasn't in doubt and unbelief. I was just letting her know, this is where we are. This is what we got to make happen. And she would tell me, you know, worryation is a sin. Got it? And I said, I'm not worried. I'm just letting you know what's going on. You got it? So we can be in agreement together on what's going on. Praise the Lord, right? And so anytime I see this, I always think about that years ago, right? And so lady was going to make sure I wasn't going to get in fear. You got it? Because how is worryation a sin, Pastor? Is that biblical? Yeah, the writer says anything that is not of faith is sin. You got it? And so I've got to understand that. So he tells me to don't worry about anything. KJV says, be anxious for nothing. So, you know, so anxiety, worry, you got it. You can't let it bother you. He says, instead, pray about. That's right. He says, pray about, everything. I pray about everything, y'all. When I tell y'all I pray about everything, I pray about everything, all right? He says, tell God what you need. And watch this, and thank him for all he has done. And you got to catch that, because when I go to God, there's a way I need to approach it. The Bible says to enter into his gates with and into his courts with. be thankful unto him and bless his name, right? And so anytime I pray, before I pray the prayer of petition, and there's nothing wrong with the prayer of petition because he tells us to ask and keep on asking, right? But before I pray the prayer of petition, the things that I need from him, and the writer teaches us that this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, that he hears us, but not only does he hear us, that he grants the petition. So we know it's okay to pray the prayer of petition, but when you understand what the writer is teaching us, he says, tell God what you need and thank him for what he's done. So you don't just go say, God, I need this, and God, I need that, and God, I need that. The first thing I do is, if I'm going to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, the first thing I'm going to do is pray the prayer of what we call praise and worship. Father, I just thank you that you are a good God. You are a great God, and you're worthy to be praised. You're the air that I breathe. You're the song that I sing. It is in you that I live, and you that I move, and you that I have my being. Lord, I'm twisted up, tied up, and tangled up in you, and that's exactly where I want to be, because truth be told, nobody can love me like you love me, and nobody can help me like you help me. Father, I just thank you for being Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that provides, because you've been a mighty good provider for me and my family. I just thank you for being Jehovah Shalom. Lord, you are my peace, and regardless of what's going on, I thank you for the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, that is guarding my heart and mind through. And then I begin to feel the anointing to start showing up. I begin to feel his presence, and I just take a long time just talking about his goodness and his grace and his mercy. Watch this. So I'm thanking him for everything that he's already done, all the doors he's already opened, all the ways that he's already made. And then I do that before I go into my prayer petition. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so make sure that, make sure that you do that. Well, Pastor, what if it's a quick prayer? Okay, well, if it's a quick prayer, ain't nothing wrong with that, but still thank him for a few seconds. Does that make sense? Yeah, even when we go to the breakfast table, lunch table, dinner table, or if you're just going to get a snack, Bullberry Biscuit at Bojangles, you got to stop and first thank him. Father, I thank you that this is the day that you made. We choose to rejoice and be glad in it. So we thank you for your many provisions. Thank you for providing this food. And bless it. Sanctify it. In Jesus' name, amen. Does that make sense? It's hard to say. My father taught us to say, make it good for our body. But a Bullberry Biscuit, I'm not really sure if that's good for my body. But anyways, I'm not going to worry about that. I'm not going to get theological when it comes to that, all right? So he says, now let's start over, all right? Are y'all getting something out of this? And it's important that I take my time because we're studying the Bible. People say, when's Bible study? Every time we come to church. Does that make sense? So let's pick it up at verse 6 again. Now that I've broken it down, watch this. Don't worry about, instead pray about. He says, tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Verse 7, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And so you notice the writer is teaching us that when I go and enter into his gates with thanksgiving and enter into his courts with praise, and I begin to feel his presence, and I begin to declare some things over my life and over my marriage and over my family, over my finances and over my career and over my children. You understand? Watch this. Every time I get done praying, I feel God's peace. I do. Because I have given everything to him. You got it. I know he's the author and finisher of my faith, right? I'm trusting him. You got it. And so in verse 6, Paul gives us a replacement strategy. He says, replace worry and anxiety with prayer. He says, and if you do that, it'll produce peace, right? In verse 7, Paul explains that if you do that, that peace will guard your heart and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So the key is I got to live in Christ Jesus. You got it? If I'm living in Christ Jesus, I'm loving people. If I'm living in Christ Jesus, I'm forgiving folks. If I'm living in Christ Jesus, I'm probably not cussing folk out. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You got it. The analogy that theologians use is a soldier standing at the door of your heart. And as the soldier stands at the door of your heart, you got it. You got it. He's not allowed. Watch this. He controls what is allowed in and what is not allowed in. And so the analogy is as fear tries to show up, you got it, that the soldier blocks the fear. If anxiety tries to show up, the soldier blocks anxiety. But if love shows up, he steps aside. He lets love in. He lets increase in. He lets good things in. But you could be three good things he can see down the road. Here come number four. It's not good. He steps in and says no, because the peace of God that surpasses all understanding guards my heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Does that make sense? And that is why it is important that we pray. All right. God's peace does several things, but for the context of this lesson, I'm going to give you three things. The first thing that God's peace does is it guards your mind. It guards your mind. All right. Because the enemy will always shoot those negative thoughts, those fiery darts. You're not going to make it. You're going to die. This is going to happen. It's always going to be like this. But God's peace, watch this, it'll guard my heart. All right. Second thing God's peace does, not only does it guard my heart, but it protects my heart. All right. You know, and I don't want you to go too far back down memory lane with this one. Okay. Look at your neighbor. Say, listen to your pastor. Listen to your pastor. All right. Okay. No, because this is a tough one. This is a tough one. You got it. Has anybody ever been hurt by somebody? Everybody in the room. Okay. Let's go a little farther. Has anybody ever really been hurt by somebody? You got it. Now, everybody keep your hands out. And some of us have been hurt by people that, watch this, we're still allowing God to heal us. Does that make sense? All right. But watch this. But when I have God's peace, watch this, not only does it guard my mind, but it protects my heart. Watch this, because the Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. I got to watch what's going in. You got it. Because if I watch what's going in, I can control what's coming out. Because out of the abundance of the heart, what happens? The mouth speaks. And so what happens is, if I run into somebody that's hurt me, you got it, and then maybe I haven't totally gotten over it, as long as I've been having a prayer life, there's a peace about me so I can see them. Watch this. And even if that feeling comes out, because peace is protecting my heart, I won't allow anything to come out that should not come out. I might make the conversation quick. I might say, hey, how you doing? God bless you and be on my way. But peace is going to make sure I don't allow anything wrong to come out of my... Boy, that is some good stuff right there. Look at your neighbor and say, he's teaching us this morning. He's teaching us this morning. All right? So God's peace guards your mind. It protects your heart. Watch this. And I love... And this really goes with the last one about people hurting us. It steadies your emotions. Because a lot of times, let me just be real, real honest with you. All of us, all right? So I'm not picking on anyone. We can look at the choices that we made that were probably not good choices, called bad decisions, and a lot of times it was based on unsteady emotions. You got it? We allowed our emotions kind of to get the best of us, and we made a decision that we shouldn't have made. You understand what I'm saying? Now, don't get me wrong. He's the God of another chance, so don't beat yourself up. But the reason I got to teach you this is not about what's happened in the past, is to make sure that as I'm moving to my future, I don't do that again. Does that make sense? Yeah, and so because what happens is every move I make has to be in the will of God for my life. But if my emotions are unsteady, then I'll make a decision or make a choice. And watch this. And if it's not the right choice and I made it, you know, the wrong way, then now I'm out of the will of God for my life. And I don't want to be out of the will of God for my life. Does that make sense? All right, here we go. 1 Peter 5:7. 1 Peter 5:7. Still talking about God's peace. He says, cast a little bit of your care. There you go. Shoot me down. That's what I'm talking about. All right, here we go. Let's read it again. Cast some of your care. That's right. He didn't say that. He said, cast all your care upon him. Why? For he cares for you. Yeah. And so you've got to learn how to give all of it to Jesus and not some of it. You don't overcome things like worry and anxiety by holding it. You overcome it by handing it over. And so I've just made a decision in my life that that stuff is too heavy for me to carry, so I'm just going to give it to Jesus. You got it? I'm going to give it to Jesus. I'm not going to worry about it. You understand what I'm saying? You got it? Yeah, I'm going to give it to Jesus. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to worry about what people think. I'm not going to worry about how they feel about me. I'm not going to worry about any of those things. You understand what I'm saying? You got it? I don't worry about that stuff. I used to worry about that stuff, but I have grown in my relationship with Christ, and I realized worrying about people not liking me and, you know, that people, somebody's always going to have an opinion. Y'all know that, right? But thank God for the good people that God puts around you that love you, that are loyal to you, that will be there for you, that will help you. Come on, somebody. And those are the people that you focus on. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so you got to understand that. And so my take home statement for point number two is, if it's big enough to worry about, and not that you should, it's big enough to pray about. So pray instead of worry. That's what Paul teaches us. All right, so let's recap in the back. Number one, let's put it up on the screen with a strong voice on the count of three. One, two, three. All right, number two, here we go. One, two, three. All right, put up number three. Here we go. One, two, three. Focus on what matters. Philippians 4 and 8. Philippians 4 and 8. All right, here we go. Finally, brethren, because he's about to wrap this thing up. He's about to close this letter up, right? You know, he said a lot of things, but he says, I want you to really focus on what matters. You got it. So don't allow things that don't matter to steal your focus. He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are. Oh, let's try that again. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are. 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 Lovely. That's right. Huh? It's not there. Oh. Okay, whatsoever things are, okay, no problem. Whatsoever things are of a, he said, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think, T-H-I-N-K, think on. So I can go to scripture, watch this, and it's got to match my life. So if I'm looking at things that watch this, that don't concern me, that are not true, that are not honest, that are not lovely, then why am I worried about those things? So here's the thing I've taught my kids, and I've taught you. Control what you can control. What you can't control, you give that to Jesus. Does that make sense? Everybody say control what you can control. So now Paul is dealing with our thought life, all right? You got it? Because you cannot have peace with a negative, uncontrolled mind. All right? Your life moves in the direction of your thoughts, so you got to make sure you're thinking the right things. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 5 through 4. I just hit my zero mark. How many give me 5 minutes? Five more minutes. Who, y'all good with 5 minutes? No, I mean, if you're okay with 5 minutes, raise your hand. 5, 10, 15. No, I'm just playing, all right? But I do need just a few more minutes, then we'll wrap it up, all right? 2 Corinthians 10 and 4. He says, the weapons we fight are not the weapons of the world. This is NIV. Some of you might remember it in the KJV. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, right? But let's read it in the NIV. I wanted to read this translation on purpose. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. You got, I ain't shooting nobody. I ain't going upside nobody's head with a baseball bat. You understand? He says, on the contrary, the weapons we fight with have divine power to demolish strongholds, all right? Strongholds can be houses of negative thoughts that the enemy will try to cause to just sit in your mind, all right? He says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it what class? Obedient to Christ. So every thought that comes to my mind, if it don't line up with the word of God, I got to cast it out. Does that make sense? All right. So it's called the think filter. T-H-I-N-K. The think filter. So when it comes, when a thought comes, or before you speak. So sometimes it ain't even got the thought got to come. So if a thought comes or before you speak, ask yourself several questions. Number one, letter T, is it true? Number two, letter H, is it helpful? Number three, letter I, is it inspiring? Number four, letter N, is it necessary? Because catch this. There could be some things that are true but not necessary for you to say right now. Husband and wives, can I get a? Isn't that right? No. If you all of a sudden everything's going good and then boom, there's something. No, the best thing to do is just be quiet. You got it. You know, but it's true. Just because it's true don't mean you need to say it right now. We need to let that leave alone. Not alone, L-O-N-E, leave it alone. You understand what I'm saying? All right, and the last one, K, is it kind? If it doesn't pass the test, everybody say cast it away. Okay, Court, let's go home. So my take-home statement for this one, oh, we're doing good, we're early. This is great. My take-home statement for this one is every thought is not yours to accept. Every thought is not yours to accept. So peace is not found in a perfect life. Peace is found in a surrendered life. So when you choose joy, when you give everything to God in prayer, and when you take control of your thoughts, God will give you a peace that will guard your heart, and watch this, and give you a calm that the world cannot take away. You know, when we were a little boy, and I'm not about to sing, but we would say, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. And if the world didn't give it, the world can't take it away. I like to say, you didn't light my candle, so you can't blow it out. As long as I keep my heart right with Jesus. And that's why I teach you things like holiness, that holiness is still important. I know the culture we live in, they tell you can do whatever you want, you can sleep around whatever you want, and God will just forgive you, and you know, and those kind of things. Everything isn't about making it into heaven. There's some things that I need to stay away from. It ain't even no heaven or hell thing, but it's going to protect my heart. Paul says there are things that are lawful but not expedient. There are things that I can do and, quote, get away with, but do I really need to? And let me tell you why I've never fallen into that trap. Because I've always been focused on God's goodness in my life and everything that God has done for me and everything I know he wants to do for me. And I don't want to be the stumbling block of what God is trying to do in my life. And so is it really worth it? You got it. Is it really worth it if you're married? You got it. I saw this crazy mess on social media the other day. Called babe, you're going to have to help me. Called it's like a guy goes to work, and let's say he's married, right? And then there's a lady there, and like it's like a job wife or something like that. Work wife. What y'all know about that? No, I'm just playing. Don't do that, Pastor, because they won't tell you. No, you saw it like I saw it on social media. You know, but what happens is that stuff is becoming more common because they throw it in to make it funny. But what you don't understand is that's the enemy trying to creep in. You got it? Because now, watch this, to make it acceptable. Oh, it's just for fun. No, the enemy knows what he's doing. He wants you to start having feelings for that person and those kind of things. And that is why you got to make it up in your mind that no. I got my mind stayed on Jesus. Watch this. Let me help you to stay focused. Just write this afternoon 7 things you need God to do for you. You got it? And then when he does 1, you got it, then take number 2 of the number 1 and then redo another 7. You understand? And then redo another 7. And I always keep about 7 things I'm believing God. Now, he knocks them off. You got it? But it's what keeps me focused. Because I need God to do too much in my life for me to have a work wife fooling around. You understand what I'm saying? Doing some dumb stuff. And so that's what I'm saying. So righteous living is not about God, watch this, putting a strong arm on you. Righteous living is about God putting you in a place where you have joy, where you have peace, where you have contentment, and watch this, and your heart is open for God to do amazing things in your life, and that's what God wants to do in your life. Do you receive that on today? Give the Lord a big hand praise. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Believers are praying all over the building. Father, we thank you for the harvest and that none of the harvest is lost in Jesus' name. And while heads are bowed and eyes are closed and believers are praying all over the building, at the end of my lesson today, I said peace is not found in a perfect life, but peace is found in a surrendered life. And my question to you today in the room and online is, have you fully surrendered your life to Jesus? And I'm going to pray this prayer, and I want you to pray it with me. This prayer will help you if you're not a Christian and you just need to give your life to Jesus and fully surrender. But it'll also help that person that says, man, I need to rededicate my life to the Lord and fully surrender. And I want you to know God's not mad with you, God's not upset with you, and God's not angry with you. And don't listen to people who talk like that. Maybe you're a Christian in the room or online. Maybe you made some mistakes, and I don't want you beating yourself up about that. Because truth be told, the Bible didn't say y'all have sinned. It says all have sinned. There's not one person in this room, including pastor, that can just walk around like we've never done anything wrong. We've never made any mistakes. You got it. The truth be told, like Paul said, boy, I don't have time to get into it, is that we're working out our own soul salvation with fear and trembling. And so me giving you this opportunity to get it right is not to make you feel bad, but to release anything that's going on. So that way, when you walk out of here, your heart is clear. You're in faith so God can do the supernatural in your life. I want everyone in the room and online to repeat after me. Say, Father, I come to you asking you to forgive me for sinning against you. Oh, holy God, I know Jesus died and shed his blood just for me. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. And from this day forward, I'll serve you. Now, Satan, I denounce you and every evil work. Tell him you have nothing to do with me and I have nothing to do with you. Now, boldly declare this. Say, Jesus is my Savior. He's my Lord and I'll always serve him. Now, Father, we thank you for what you've done. We give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can you give the Lord a big hand? Praise all over the building. Are you glad you came to church at 9 o'clock in the morning?